Where do we start this?
And answer. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Sell or Die. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer, but you may know me as the author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we are here to help you go out in the street and make more money, or be on the phone and make more money, or talk to people on email and make more money.
But no matter how you're doing it, this show is all about you, and we're going to give you tips and strategies that you can use right now
to make
turn into money.
Okay, so we are we get help on this show. We don't do this by ourselves. We don't push a button. Someone else pushes all the buttons, and his name is Doug Branson. Doug, what's happening
he's
behind?
He's more than a button pusher, though.
I know.
I mean, he's doing some really highly intellectual button pushing stuff.
If Jeffrey's not careful, I'm going to push the eject button.
Okay. Well, luckily the room's padded.
That's right. Welcome in. Have a good time. This is going to be a great show that we have in store for you. If you want to hear more from us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Very easy. Just go to iTunes and search Sell or Die, or wherever you get your podcast, just search Sell or Die. And also follow Jeffrey and Jennifer on Facebook. Jeffrey is / Jeffrey Gittimer. Jennifer is / Jen Nany Minute to catch some of our Facebook live shows. Jeffrey, Jennifer, what's going on in your sales world?
Well, for me, I got two major things that are going on, Doug. And thanks for asking, by the way. We are relaunching the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's GittimerLearningAcademy.com, where we're going to talk about what worked in sales and why it worked and could still be working, what's happening right now in selling, and what's going to be happening next in the sales world. It's a composite of every piece of intellectual property I've ever recorded, and it's all available in one learning academy that's completely searchable, has a personalized sales assessment based on your skill level, a 30-hour sales certification course, and then hundreds of hours worth of my, I think, best intellectual property.
So one of our guys who was using the Gittimer Learning Academy called me a little bit ago, and he said, Jen, I have to tell you something. I said, what? He said, and I won't say his name or anything.
Okay.
But he
What's
said-
What's it rhyme with?
Yeah, no. Okay. So, nice try. So he said, I have to confide in you. I'm like, okay, what's up? He said, about a month or two ago, I had to borrow money from my 13-year-old son to make payroll. I said, oh, shit, your 13-year-old son has bank. And he's like, well, yeah, and it was really embarrassing. He's an entrepreneur, and he saves every penny, so he had enough money. I was so grateful. But, imagine that, right?
Right.
It's embarrassing. Okay. So he says, okay, so fast forward, it's now 2 months later, and I've paid my son back.
Of course.
But not only have I paid my son back and made a bunch of payroll since then, but I now have money saved in the bank for an extra payroll. And I said, oh, okay, cool. That's amazing. What's changed? What has changed between that time? And he said, the only thing that has changed is I wake up in the morning and I take 20 minutes of Gittimer on the Gittimer Learning Academy.
Cool.
That's the only thing that's changed. And it sets the tone for my entire day. I said, wow. He goes, not only that, but I take the top thing that I learned, the thing that I want to implement that day, and to keep it top of mind, I tweet it and I # Gittimer. I was like, whoa, way to go. He's like, and then I look at my phone if I ever need a reminder, and I look back through all my tweets and I have all the tips and lessons and strategies that I'm learning. So I just thought that was really cool. And I don't know if I've even shared that with you yet.
Thank you.
That's a great story. But we have to go back to this 13-year-old payroll.
Have this kid, right.
My advice
we
would
should
be,
have him on our show.
Right, and get a loan from him.
Yeah, my advice would be for the 13-year-old to get on Gittimer and start his own business if he can make payroll.
He has three businesses.
I'll give some 401k tips.
I'm going to tell you what we should do. Let's get that guy and give his kid a free subscription.
Let's do that.
And on the basis that once a week he sends us a little bit about what he learned.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Yep.
All right. So that's going to happen. We'll give you a full report, and maybe we'll even have the kid on the show. All right.
That's right.
The second thing I'm excited about is I've been hired by Sales Hacker to do not one, but two keynote events at their Sales Hacker event in the middle of June 15th, 14th, 15th. And
it's Sales Machine, if you want to look it up.
Sales Machine, if you want to look it up. It's in New York City, and it's an annual event that's attended by thousands of people, and you can fly in to be there. I would go to Sales Hacker or Sales Machine, search it on Google, buy a ticket. If you wouldn't mind, just tell them that I told you to buy it.
If they use code Gittimer, they'll actually get a discount.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And I think that the code there will help out significantly because it means that you have backed it and you have backed yourselves and you've invested in yourselves. Not only will there be a ton of salespeople there, but there's exhibits about what's happening right now and next in the world of sales.
And a couple other speakers.
Yeah, but I mean,
they're coming for you, obviously, Jeffrey.
Obviously. But what you want to learn is from the other people in the audience as well. There'll be over 1,000 people there. And I think it would be a time for you to network. I'm more than happy to meet you personally. We'll have a little booth there. You want to bring your book or buy a book. We'll have something to sign. And we'll be talking to you about how you can get your free sales assessment. What's going on in your world, Jen?
I thought you'd never ask, Jeffrey. Well, next week I'm flying to New York. I have a bunch of big meetings there that I'm really excited about. One is an open networking meeting that if anyone would like to network with me in New York, you're more than welcome. Just send me an email. Jen@salesinanewyorkminute.com. And I will give you the details because it is sort of an invite only thing.
Gotcha.
But it's a pretty cool event. Mm-hmm. And then in a couple of weeks, I'll be flying out to Texas to do a talk for funeral services home, like a conglomerate of funeral services. And I'm pretty excited about it. I'm going to be talking about sales and personal development and how to stay positive in this time
How to stay positive in a world full of dead people.
Really? I mean, it's a hard time for your customers. It's one of, if you're burying someone.
Which
it's one
ones?
Of the most,
oh.
It's one of the most emotional times of people's
course.
Lives.
Of course.
And you have to not only provide a great service, but you have to be listening and empathetic and be there for them.
I can tell you that having been through this twice myself, actually three times myself, when you have to bury somebody, it's not just somber. It is totally emotional driven. Mm-hmm. And the process, I need to have that professional guy who not only can show me what I got to do, but gives me empathy for what I need to be able to absorb.
Exactly. And it's so competitive right now. You know, when my grandpa died about a year ago, my mom did all this research trying to figure out the exact right home. It had to be perfect. And she interviewed different homes and it went on for, a little bit. And she found a great place. And then a few months later, I'm at the same place for our family friend's mother's funeral. And I said, Edie, you chose the same place that we did. And she said, of course I did. Your mom does all the research. I don't need to do any research. I'm funny. Sure she did it. So I just chose whatever she chose.
I should tell you that my mother passed more than 25 years ago, actually more than 35 years ago. Wow. And my father passed in 1998. And every year I still get a postcard from the funeral home reminding me that it's the anniversary of their death and I should burn a Yahrzeit candle. So it's not just a matter of what happens at that event. It's how do these people sort of follow up and say, hey, dude, it's time to remember your dad. It's time to remember your mom. And I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. So you would refer them if you knew someone who was looking for a home in that area.
Without a doubt.
That's what it's all about.
How much of these sales, when they revolve around sensitive subjects, require an ability to understand your prospect and how much that prospect wants you to be, I don't know what the right word is, maybe involved? You know, if they just want you to get out of the way and provide the service, or if they want you to have that sort of personal, empathetic touch?
Well, let me throw one thing at you. It's going to depend on the customer and what they're, are they a logical person? Are they an emotional person? But let's bring it back to life for just a second. Think about the person that you plan your financial future with and your ultimate demise. Like everyone's going to die. We don't know how. We don't know when. Those are the only two questions. But when you're talking to a financial planner, it's the same kind of thing. It's an emotional decision. It's based on money. It's all about how you're going to live out your future and then who you're going to give your stuff to. It's unbelievably emotional. And that person has to be both factual and emotionally engaging.
But the only way to know what the customer is really looking for, just back to Doug's question, is if you ask the right questions. If you ask questions that are going to uncover what they really care about. Do they really care about, you know, you being there for them and being supportive? Or do they really just care about you being able to walk in and have everything in the right place?
And I don't want to know what kind of casket I want to put my mother or my father in, but I would like them to ask me about what were my mom's favorite things, and do I want to make sure that they're included in the service, or do I want to ask for donations to a certain charity, or do I want to just have some flowers there? What do I want? Who's going to give a eulogy? Those kind of things. Have you ever thought of those kind of things? And then all the rest of it, all the quote details of it, come after I've already engaged with this person intellectually and emotionally to be able to decide, yeah, this is my person.
Right. You don't get into the details until you've chosen your place.
Right. I don't want to know if I have a budget for this, as an example. I just want to know that I have a person whom I can trust to be able to do a great job.
You know what? And I think in times of deep emotion like this, you may walk in thinking in your mind you have one budget, but when you find out or have an emotional reason to change your budget, you will, if needed. So you might, I'm just going to throw out a number, you might think your budget's $100, but when they offer to you in an emotionally engaging way, and it's $200 or $150, the emotion is so deep that you're going to figure out a way to afford it.
I'm going to throw one sales tip out to the general audience right now. I have coached a lot of life insurance financial planning people in my career, and I tell them to ask a two-part question. Number one, I have them sit down with Mr. or Mrs. Jones or Mr. and Mrs. Jones and say, Mr. Jones, how much money do you believe that you need to have in order to retire? And then I wait for a number. Maybe it's $1 million. Maybe it's $5 million. Okay, great. And how much of that do you have right now? And that's like the shocker question, because most people are way, way short of what they feel like they need.
And no one's ever asked them that.
Right. And I say, look, my job as your financial planner is to get you from where you are to where you want to be. And if you show me what you're doing right now, if I think I can help you, I'll tell you. And if I don't think I can help you, I'll tell you that too. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
And of course they say, fair enough are the most powerful words in closing. So I want you to think about your product or service, because you're saying, well, Jeffrey, I don't really sell life insurance. I don't really sell financial planning. No, but you sell whatever it is that you sell, and it revolves around the same two types of questions. The emotionally engaging question that, number one, sets up a truth, number two, gets them to respond, and number three, creates a little bit of uneasiness in terms of that response.
All right, so let's introduce today's guest. Today's guest is Ash Wechter. Ash is a...
He's a sales guy. Let me, for the audience that's not watching us... Ash sent
me. What was that?
He sent me a letter. That was the sound of paper.
Oh, boy. Okay.
He sent me an actual letter. And I looked at it and I go, wow, I got a letter. You never get a letter anymore. You get
handwritten name on the envelope,
the whole nine yards.
Crooked stamp.
Exactly, to make sure that you know it's personal. But he sent me his email magazine or his newsletter in the mail.
Yeah.
And I got it and I couldn't believe it. So I called him. And sure enough, he answered the phone. Well, he actually returned my phone call. But the bottom line was, he did something that was so old that it was new. And that's what we're going to talk to Ash about this morning.
So I don't know about you, Jeffrey, but I never seem to receive mail anymore.
Well, there's other reasons for that, Jen. But yeah. But
the mail?
Huh? Yeah, the mail's broke. Well, the post office has to first hire people that can read. They don't seem to be able to do that either. But the bottom line is, Ash broke the rules.
Yeah.
And Ash won by breaking the rules, and it's working.
All right, so let's take a listen.
So, Ash, it's so nice to meet you after all these years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a long time. We spoke twice in a week.
Tell me a little bit about yourself and your background so we can inform our audience as to how cool you really are.
Thank you. I am a direct response copywriter, and actually I just got into it this past year. Before that, I was a web designer for about 10, 12 years, and I mostly working on my own. And then a couple of times during that time, I worked for a couple of companies doing user interface design.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, I'm a full-time direct response copywriter working out of my home.
And tell me, who you have you written for anybody famous?
Not extremely famous, but I guess if you're in the speaking world, I recently did a project with Mark Sanborn,
who's
pretty well known in that world.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the rest of the world, unfortunately, I haven't worked with anybody really famous.
Gotcha. But you're a pretty good writer. Now, why did you decide? I got a letter in the mail from you, and I go, oh, a letter. I wonder what's in here.
A letter, and it's not a bill.
Right, exactly. Or something stupid from a bank or a car company telling me that my warranty is due or something.
Yeah, this is actually almost all value here.
Yeah, and it was handwritten. And when I called you, I understand you handwrote the address.
That's correct.
And I opened it up, and it was like a newsletter. And I thought, wow, why isn't this guy just emailing it so I can delete it? and then I thought, well, maybe there's method in his madness. And
but you actually picked up the phone to call him.
I did. I looked for his phone number. I found it very easily.
How many emails do you get with newsletters, and then you pick up the phone and call the person emailing you?
That would be none.
Okay, so your method worked.
Yeah, the method worked. In fact, I even have coffee stains on it to prove.
Yeah, that's Death Wish coffee right there.
I've been keeping it around. Yeah, that's the coffee on the bottom is this. I don't have one of these coasters up by my phone upstairs, so I use.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. But so I've been using your newsletter as a coaster, but it's working. And your writing is good, which is why I called you. But I was more intrigued by the strategy that you used to reach me. You decided to just send me a letter.
So how many of these letters do you send a month?
I just actually started doing the newsletter. I used to write actually sales letters. And the strategy behind this was when I was writing sales letters, I was kind of writing them every month, and I was writing the same one, and I didn't want to pitch people the same letter or even a different letter month after month.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually read an excellent book by Jay Abraham. Some people may be familiar with him.
I am.
And his book is Getting Everything You Can Out of All You've Got.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about newsletters as being part of your strategy mix. And so I did a little bit of research into, newsletters, and I wanted to do a physical, snail mail newsletter. I didn't want to do an email newsletter just for the same reason that you spoke about. It's easy to delete. So the strategy was not to, like I said, I didn't want to write a sales letter every month. So I wanted to write a newsletter and provide content,
mm-hmm.
provide value,
mm-hmm.
so I can keep, pounding people every month. So that was the whole strategy behind that.
Well, it worked.
It worked. It's pretty cool. And it's very targeted. It's for speakers, authors,
yep.
and publishers. And so what mm-hmm. kind of response are you getting from this?
From this particular one, I've only sent out probably about 120 of these so far.
You handwrote 120 envelopes?
Oh, yeah. And I even do more than that when I was writing my sales letters. Yeah,
is that like a trick? Like people are more inclined to open it if it's handwritten on the envelope than if it's printed on a label?
Yeah. Yep, and then if the stamp's a little crooked, that even increases 10% open rate.
That's
the more genuine you can make it look, the more likely they're going to open it up.
Well, wow. You should do what I did. Spill some coffee on it.
And then send it? That might just look sloppy.
You mean a lot to me.
I will make a note of that.
And here's my spilled coffee to prove it.
So obviously you worked with Jeffrey. What other kind of response are you getting from direct mail?
Oh, I've gotten great response. I've gotten, three projects probably in the last 6 weeks.
Wow.
And I've gotten, some inquiries, just, asking for quotes and things like that. So the response has been pretty good. And I'm trying different you know, different types of letters to send out.
I can tell you this, that the strategy is so old that it's new.
Exactly. And, you know, in my world, the direct response copywriting world, a lot of people talk about this, that it still works. The physical snail mail letter still works.
You should read anything by Dan Kennedy.
I just finished actually, about a month ago, I read The Ultimate Sales Letter. So,
yeah, he's very good at what he does. Very, very good. And Dan and Jay are both friends of ours. So we have pretty direct contact with them. And they both are they're not as professional online people as maybe other people are, but their ability to write captures the imagination regardless of where it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I follow them both. I mean, I've read, I read the Jay Abraham book and the Dan mm-hmm. Kennedy book. I'm actually taking a info marketing course by Dan Kennedy right now.
Oh. I can tell you, Dan Kennedy used to speak at the very end of all of the tour things, the Peter something jackass. I can't remember his name. Peter Lowe.
He just said Peter that on
Lowe.
Air.
Huh? Peter Lowe. And all the rally things. And he would speak at the very end and people would be walking out while he was speaking, and he spoke as fast as he possibly could. And he always sold more in the back of the room than anybody.
Wow. I can believe it.
He's a classic guy who understands the pitch and knows how to close. He's amazing. But I think what I really want to talk to people about, and Jen and I talked about it, and with our great producer, Doug Branson, I wanted to talk about the fact that you tried something that was outrageously different, but it had been done for 100 years, and you decided mm-hmm. to defy the online world and go back to the traditional method of mailing. And anybody can say anything they want about, well, it doesn't work anymore, it's old, it's stupid. No, dude, you got results. You got business. You made money as a result of this. Way to go.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, my response rate's been, pretty good. So, and it gets people to open it up, and, our inboxes, virtual inboxes, email is flooded with messages, and it's kind of like whack-a-mole. You're just trying to figure out which ones to delete.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
I do that, actually. I go through my emails, and I go delete, 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 and then I read what's left.
Yeah. Okay, so what would you recommend to our listeners who have either never done direct mail before, don't receive a lot of mail, or just have done it and think it's over?
Or they're shitty writers and they need to come to you.
Yeah. What are some tips you can give them or strategies you can give them to get started with direct mail?
I would definitely, start exploring direct mail. Read, The Ultimate Sales Letter by Dan Kennedy, for one.
Mm-hmm.
He'll kind of, outline what a good sales letter is. But definitely, open your mind to it, to direct mail, because it really does work. Because so few of us get a letter in the mail.
Right. You should say it still does work. Because they've been mailing letters, since the 1850s.
Right, exactly. Well, I was about to say that. I mean, I read, there's guys like Claude Hopkins, who wrote books about 100 years ago that mm-hmm. that people today are still using as kind of their Bible, so to speak. But I would recommend that people first, open your mind to the idea that it's going to work, and then start reading books about direct mail.
Do you do any direct selling, direct mail, Jeffrey?
I have done in the past, but I probably haven't done any for 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, I'm too young.
Yeah, send the postcard.
It went away when I started marketing.
Listen, I did a lot of seminars for companies that did direct mailing, coupon mailing, and things of that nature. I have a lot of experience in it, but it's basically over.
It's not over because Ash was on our show. I mean, he has a full business from
this. It was so over that he started it again.
It's amazing.
And I thought that the logic for him doing this was perfect. And the fact that he got me to open up his mail, read his mail, and then call them on the phone and then put them on the podcast is evidence that it's working. I guarantee you other people are going, what's this? I better read it, because I never get something like that ever. Mm-hmm. And I think that what he done is he's hit a niche. And that niche is an open niche that had closed.
Okay, but here's the key. He did not send you a brochure.
Nope.
He did not send you a promotional packet. He did not send you something full of ads. He sent you a newsletter that was full of value. It had two or three articles.
Yep.
And each article was interesting, well-written, perfect grammar, and something you were you wanted to read.
He also offered his own services
in
there.
He proved himself.
Exactly. But he did it in a way that was non-annoying.
It was not salesy. It was value-driven.
He did it in a way that got me to call the guy.
Right. Well, that's the key, though. If you're listening and you're wanting to create a direct mail campaign,
right.
I think what I've seen in the past is those coupon things or, brochures or
advertisements.
Yeah, I don't
want 20% off of a donut.
Yeah, exactly. Or like a car wash or whatever. Give me value.
And some people think value is about money. I think value is about intellectual advancement so that you can earn a ton of money, not save $2.
Education.
Bingo.
Knowledge.
Bingo.
Love it.
We're going to say goodbye right now. We've had an amazing—
Is there any time to go?
No.
This was so much fun.
Well, we have other work we got to do.
All right, fine. Thank you for joining us today on Sell or Die. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die.
And follow us on Twitter at Gittimer and at JenInAnyMinute.com. Or Jen in Any Minute, I think, is her Twitter handle.
That's right.
And on Facebook, I'm Facebook/Jeffrey Gittimer. That's my public page. Follow me there. And when you and
I'm Jen in a NY Minute.
And when you do that, you'll find out when we are going to be live. We will tweet out, we will Facebook out when we're going to be live and when our next show is.
Thanks to our guest, Ash Wechter. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.